The Lord did not say, take my yoke upon you and learn about me. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me. And there's all the difference in the world. It's life and death. Would you turn back to 1 Timothy chapter 1? Now, Timothy is one of the pastoral epistles, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. But when Paul wrote this letter to Timothy, it was not merely a personal letter. If it was merely a personal letter, he wouldn't have gone through all the formality of identifying himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ by the commandment of God our Savior and the Lord Jesus Christ our hope. If he was just writing a personal letter, Timothy already knew that. But Paul knew that he was writing scriptures when he was writing this letter, which would be studied by the church even in 2012. Isn't that amazing? And that's why he identified himself as an apostle by the commandment of God our Savior. He knew that this was a part of the canon of Scripture. In verse 1, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the commandment of God our Savior. This is where my authority comes from. And the Lord Jesus Christ, which is our hope. And I notice which is in italics. It was put there by the translators, supposedly to give the scripture more light, but here I don't think it gives it much more light. The Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Hope. Hope is a confident expectation with regard to the future. The Lord, that's my hope. He's the Lord. He's got the ability to save me. He's the Lord. That's my hope. Jesus, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. That's my hope, that he does in fact save his people from their sins. Christ, God's anointed prophet, the word of God. Christ, God's priest that brings me into God's presence. Christ, God's King that causes me by irresistible and invincible grace to do his will. That's my hope. Lord Jesus Christ, our hope. Unto Timothy, my own son in the faith. Now, Timothy is a very special man. His name means dear to God. I want to be a Timothy, don't you? I want to be someone who's dear to God. I'm looking at some Timothys. He was Paul's right-hand man and possibly the one who would take Paul's place. Now, evidently, he was converted at a very early age. Paul said in 2 Timothy, from a child, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation. He talked about his grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice, and the unfeigned faith that he was persuaded that was in Timothy also. Now, look what Paul said about Timothy in Philippians chapter 2. This passage of Scripture is always a passage of Scripture that makes me sad. He says to the church at Philippi in Philippians chapter 2, verse 19. Now, Paul had been preaching for a long time. And look what he says here. But I trust in the Lord Jesus to send Timotheus shortly unto you, that I also may be of good comfort when I know your state. For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For all seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ. Now, Paul says this at a time when he'd been preaching a long time. And what a horrible indictment of that day. All seek their own and not the things that are Jesus Christ. But you know the proof of him, that as a son with the Father, he hath served with me in the gospel. Now, evidently, Timothy was a man of a very timid disposition. You know, we all have dispositions. There's certain ways we're born, and we have these dispositions, and Timothy had this, and Paul was dealing with it. Look over in 2 Timothy chapter 1. He says in verse 6, wherefore I put thee in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God. Fan the flame which is in thee by the putting on of my hand. Stir it up For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. Evidently, Timothy had a tendency to be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord. He said, don't do that, but you be a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel. Now, back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. Paul's writing to Timothy, my own son in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh, I want his grace, I want his mercy, and I want his peace. Now he says to Timothy, I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus when I went into Macedonia, that you might charge some. Give them this commandment, that they teach no other doctrine. And that's what I've entitled this message, No Other Doctrine. This was his first charge to Timothy. You charge some, that they teach no other doctrine. We'll get back to that in a moment. Neither give heed to fables and endless genealogies which minister questions rather than godly edifying which is in faith. So do. Don't give heed. Don't give any regard to fables. What are fables? Any story, any method, any doctrine not found in the scripture. It's a fable. It's useless. We look to the word of God only for all things. The scriptures alone, nor don't give heed to these endless genealogies. You know, remember when John the Baptist said, God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. We have Abraham as our father, big deal. What's that mean? God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. So don't you give heed to these fables and endless genealogies, which all they do is minister questions rather than godly edifying. Now, this is what the true doctrine does, the truth. It's always godly edifying, which is in faith. This is where that godly edifying comes from, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. It always leads to that, the doctrine which is according to godliness. Now, let's go back to verse 3. No other doctrine. You've charged some that they teach and preach no other doctrine, but the doctrine of God, the doctrine of Christ, the doctrine of the gospel. Turn to 1 Timothy 6, verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he's proud, knowing nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy and strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, withdraw thyself. Just stay away from those people. No other doctrine. I remember some of you all might have been here. This has been probably 30 years ago, 28 or 30 years ago. Danny Blair had been preaching at a church in Lancaster. He was a youth group leader there. And they put him on trial for what he was preaching. They wanted to get rid of him. They didn't agree with what he's preaching. Some of you all remember that. Maybe some of you were there. Peggy, were you there? Chuck, were you at that meeting? They actually had a meeting where they were putting him on. Were you all there? You remember? Okay. Well, they actually had a meeting where they were putting him on trial for what he was preaching regarding grace. And this one man got up and he said, I don't want to hear any doctrine. All I want to hear is about Jesus. Now, I guess that sounds spiritual, but it's absolutely wrong. What can you say regarding the Lord Jesus Christ without it being doctrine. You can't. Doctrine. Preach no other doctrine. Now, every one of us have heard doctrine presented in such a way as it just didn't seem alive to us. Every one of us. I'm sure you've heard me preach that way when you thought it didn't seem alive. You can admit it. No, don't tell me. Well, what's behind something like that? I've heard like that, you know, doctrine that just doesn't seem living. Well, first of all, when it's abstract and academic and it just doesn't seem practical, that's always wrong. Anything that's not practical is not true. If it's just abstract and academic, it's no good. It's not living. And then it could be that the person presenting that doctrine is dead. And when he presents the doctrine in a dead way, it's not true. Because the doctrine of God is living. He said, my doctrine will distill as the dew and the rain. It's living. And when someone presents it like that, they're dead. And it comes out dead. Or it could be that the hearer is dead. Like the children of Israel, that manna that at one time was so wonderful. Now they say our souls loathe this light bread. It's no longer living. We don't like it. Dry, dead doctrine is not true doctrine. Now, the Lord said regarding his doctrine, my doctrine shall drop as the rain, my speech shall distill as the dew, as the small rain on the tender herb and the showers upon the grasses. I will publish the name of the Lord. That is his doctrine. Now, the doctrine being spoken of is the very words of Christ, wholesome words, not doctrines. Listen to this. Not doctrines, but doctrine. Now, I catch myself using this phrase all the time, and I'm wrong every time I use it. The doctrines of grace. Every time the Bible uses the word doctrines in the plural, it's always negative. The doctrines of men, the doctrines of devils, but there is the doctrine of Christ. It's not the doctrines of grace, it's the doctrine of grace. The teaching of God regarding his grace. It's one doctrine. It's not doctrines, it's one doctrine. See, there's either grace or there's works. It's not the doctrines of grace, it is the doctrine of grace. You see, the doctrine of Christ is one unified whole. You can't reject any part of it. If you reject any part, you reject the whole. What I thought about was that woman, remember, in Solomon's time. These women, this one woman rolled over on her on this other woman's child. They were both in bed together. She smothered it. And so she took the woman's child and said, this is my child. And the woman said, no, you killed your child. That's my child. So they were having an argument over this, and they brought it up to Solomon. And Solomon said, well, here's what we'll do. We'll cut the child in half and give you both half. Well, the one who didn't love the child said, okay, that's agreeable to me. And the mother said, no, give her the child. The one who loved the child couldn't bear for it to be separated. One doctrine, the doctrine of the Lord Jesus Christ, the doctrine of God. You charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Paul said, take heed to thyself and to thy doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. Now in verse 5 of 1 Timothy chapter 1, we can see what sound doctrine is from this passage of Scripture. Now the end, we're going to get to this later on. Now the end or the goal of the commandment is charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. I love that phrase, faith unfeigned. You know, there's a lot of feigned faith, fake faith. That's what that means, acting faith. But he said, faith unfeigned, the real thing. From which, this end of the commandment, some have swerved aside unto vain jangling, desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm,
But we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. Now, that speaks so clearly. You want to be under law? Well, all you prove by that is you're an unbeliever. That's it. The law was not made for a righteous man. Now, an unbeliever wants the law to restrain him, so they think, but the law was not made for a righteous man. But for the lawless and disobedient, for the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane, for murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers, for whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men-sealers, for liars, for perjured persons, and if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine. And you know what that tells me? All sin is contrary to sound doctrine. Any doctrine that excuses sin doesn't come from God. That's contrary to sound doctrine. Sound doctrine, the doctrine that comes from God, is always contrary to sin. Now go on reading. Verse 11, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God, and that could just as easily read and probably should read, according to the gospel of the glory of the blessed God, which was committed to my trust. Now, sound doctrine is always according to the gospel of the glory of the blessed God. Moses said, show me your glory. And he said, I make all my goodness pass before you. I proclaim the name of the Lord before you, and I will be gracious to whom I will be gracious. And I will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. Now, there is sound doctrine. There's the doctrine of God. There's the doctrine of Christ. And anything contrary to the gospel of his glory, where he gets all the glory in his sovereign mercy, is wrong. This is the only doctrine with the authority of God behind it. They were astonished at his doctrine, the scripture says, for he spake as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now, question. How can I know if what I'm hearing is sound doctrine? Because you know that anybody who preaches or teaches, they're not going to say, well, this is poisonous doctrine I'm throwing out to you, or this is wrong. You know, nobody's going to do that. Everybody claims to be sound. Everybody claims I'm preaching the Word of God. How can I know? How can I keep from being deceived? Because there's so many voices. Think about that. There's so many voices. How can I keep from being deceived? How can I know if what I'm hearing is God's doctrine, the doctrine of Christ? Turn with me to John chapter 7. John chapter 7. Verse 14. Now about the midst of the feast, Jesus went up into the temple and taught. And the Jews marveled, saying, how knoweth this man letters, having never learned? Where'd he go to seminary? Why would we listen to him? Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Now, did you hear that? I won't be duped if I'm willing to do his will. If I'm deceived, it's because I was unwilling to do his will. And he sent me strong delusion, because they received not the love of the truth. For this cause, God shall send them strong delusion. That's a scary scripture, isn't it? But I know this. If I don't receive the truth, if I'm duped, it's my fault. It's because I was unwilling to do his will. The Lord wouldn't let that happen if I was willing to do his will. If any man, I don't care who you are, if any man will do his will, he'll know the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Here's the great error detector. He that speaketh of himself seeketh his own glory. But he that seeketh his glory that sent him, the same is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Now that's the great error detector. Is the person seeking to give God all the glory? If he's not, Lord never sent him. Now let me give you a couple of scriptures that I think are just summaries of sound doctrine. Turn to 2 Timothy. Now, 2 Timothy chapter 1. I'm not going to say a lot about these, but look in verse 13. He says to Timothy, hold fast the form of sound words. The outline, the mold, the form. Hold fast. Don't let him go. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. Now, in verse 8, of the same, here's the form of sound words. He says, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me, his prisoner, but be thou a partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God who hath saved us. There's everything we believe. He saved us. He did it all. And he called us with an holy calling, a holy gospel that makes men holy. He saved us, and he called us with a holy calling, not according to our works. This has absolutely nothing to do with any doing on my part. He did it according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Now, I love thinking about this. Everything I have, was given me in Christ Jesus before the world began. Isn't that wonderful? That means I got it all. And that means I can't lose it. And that means he gave it to me. And that means he gave it to me by his grace and his eternal purpose. But, verse 10, is now manifested by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ. What was decreed before time began is manifest by the appearing of our Savior Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death. That's what he did by his work on the cross. He abolished death. Remember, the sting of death is sin, right? He took the sin away. There's no eternal death for the believer. No death at all. He abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel, whereunto I'm appointed a preacher and an apostle and a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. Now you hold fast the form of sound words. No other doctrine. Turn to 1 John chapter 4. Verse 1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they're of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. Hereby know ye the Spirit of God, every spirit that confesseth that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is of God, and every spirit that confesseth not that Jesus Christ is come in the flesh is not of God. This is the spirit of Antichrist. Now that little simple statement, Jesus Christ is come in the flesh, gives us the whole gospel. He was before he came because he's God. He's eternal. He never had a beginning. He's God. He was before he came. He came in the flesh. God became a man. And he did what he came to do in the flesh. He honored God's law. He paid for the sins of his people. He caused the salvation of everybody he died for completely. He did what he came to do. Now, that's everything we believe, isn't it? Right there. And that's why I love the simplicity of Scripture. To take some simple statement like that and it just says so much. This is what believers believe. Now, we read in Romans 6:17, you've obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which delivered you. You know, the doctrine of Christ, the gospel, it's delivered us. And we obey that from the heart. That means we believe with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That means with the understanding. I understand that Jesus Christ is my only righteousness before God. But not only do I understand it, I love it. I love him being my righteousness before God. Not only that, if given the choice, that's the way I choose. My understanding, my affections, and my will. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 16. Paul said, "Take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this thou shalt save thyself and them that hear thee." And if I don't continue in them, I won't be saved, neither will those people who hear me. Continue in the faith. This is what it is to be nourished up in the words of good doctrine. It's only continuing in his word. The Lord said, if you continue in my word, you don't quit. You continue in my word, my gospel, my doctrine. Then are you my disciples indeed. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1. Now somebody might be thinking, why would someone want to preach some other doctrine? It's a good question. Why would, he said, charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Well, why in the world would somebody teach no other doctrine or preach? Well, what's the point? Why would somebody, this doctrine is so glorious, how God saves us by his grace. Why would somebody change this or want to teach something else? Because it's really not their doctrine. Paul talked about my doctrine, the doctrine that saved me. And if someone can preach anything else, it's because it's really not their doctrine. They found no salvation. They found no necessity. They've found no life in that, so they can go on to something else. Colossians chapter 1, verse 22. Verse 21, "And you that were sometime or before time alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in his sight, if." Now do you see that if? That's a big if. "If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel." Now, all that stuff is ours, holy, unblameable, and unprovable in God's sight, if we continue in the faith, grounded and settled, not moved from that hope. And if we are moved from that hope, it's because we never were in the faith in the first place. Now, what is this thing of being grounded in the faith? Perseverance is not reciting a formula or knowing how to recite a doctrinal statement. Let's look at one other scripture. Turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Here's what persevering in the faith is. Verse 6, "But Christ, as a son over his own house, whose house are we if we hold fast?" That's a strong word. If we hold fast the confidence. The only thing I have confidence in is him. I have no confidence in the flesh. The only thing I have confidence in is him. I have confidence in his righteousness. I have confidence in his precious blood. I have confidence in his intercession. I don't have confidence in anything else. I don't have any confidence in me. I don't have any confidence in you. I have confidence in him. And didn't Paul say that's what a believer is? We are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit. rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. We're made partakers of Christ, whose house are we, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. Look in verse 14. For we are made partakers of Christ if, there's that big if again, if we hold the beginning of our confidence. What was the beginning of your confidence? What was the beginning of your confidence? Now, I know what the beginning of my confidence was. When I first trusted Christ, I didn't have any experience to hold on to. I didn't have anything else to trust. All I had was Christ. That's it. Nothing else. That's the beginning. When I first believed, I'll tell you when I was first saved. I don't know the date. Couldn't even come close to telling you. But whenever I first trusted the Lord Jesus Christ is when I saved. That's when I say, when I trusted Him only. That's the beginning of my confidence. Now I'm to hold that beginning and never be moved from that all the way to the end. Now can you see the importance of this charge to Timothy to preach no other doctrine? No other doctrine. And with that charge of preaching no other doctrine, let's look at his other charge to Timothy. This last scripture we'll look at, 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 1. I charge thee before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom. And here's the charge. Preach the word. Whatever God's word declares, preach it. Does the word declare that God is absolutely sovereign? Preach it. Does the word declare that men are completely responsible? Preach it. Does the word declare that salvation is all of grace? Altogether? Preach it. Does the word declare that if you and I don't continue and persevere in the faith, we won't be saved? Preach it. Timothy, preach the word. You charge some that they preach no other doctrine. There's only one doctrine, the doctrine of God. The doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of grace. That's the gospel. You preach no other doctrine. And Timothy, preach the word. Let's pray.